Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bind up, cast out of here any communications problems that anybody's having in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for a good, smooth night tonight with the communications. And we forbid any of the tormenting demons to interfere with our communications tonight in Jesus' name. Father, we just ask and we pray, Father, that you guide us, lead us, show us what you want us to talk about. Help us out, Lord, with new revelations, whatever, Lord. And I thank you for it. Lord, you be the guide. You be the leader. And I relinquish it to you and allow you to have it all, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a great time tonight with your brothers and sisters, with our brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, okay. I know we've been having a little experience, a little problem. I see everybody had to use their password tonight. I don't know why, but that was just it. I would write it down and put it somewhere on your computer. That's what I do. No, I'm talking about everybody else, Judy. I know you did because I didn't have to give it to you. I'm talking about everybody else. But you did good, really, girl.
I had to really look to find it. Well, actually, Sue found it.
Yeah, okay. It. All right. Well, don't give it out because we're not going to give it out up here as we're recording. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? I do. As y'all probably know, the website's down. Let's just pray for that, okay? Lord, we break the power of the enemy that's trying to upset the apple cart with the fellowship and the UBM website. In the name of Jesus, we bind all the demons that are involved up. Cast them out of here. Cast them off the website. Cast them out of GoDaddy. And Father, we thank you for an absolutely smooth transition in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for getting it back online with no more problems. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Not only that, with things that are happening to individuals, Lord, I think you may be telling us to look at ourselves and to look inward and to make sure that we're all right with you, Lord, in every aspect. And Father, we thank you for allowing us the opportunity to, if there's something out there that we know that's wrong, we need to repent of, Lord, that if you would place it in our hearts to go ahead and take care of that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, anybody else? I'm still having to give out the code too here. Anybody else want to pray?
Looks like, did anybody log into the account to see what was going on? It says the account is suspended.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Is that something they're doing, you think? Or is it just something going on with the website?
Yeah, they pulled it down for some silly reason. I don't know. But anyway, Brandy's working.
Oh, really? Are they getting like to be like Facebook and stuff or what?
No. No, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, they're still talking to them, so I don't have any concrete answer for you right now.
Well, that's strange.
Yeah.
I don't know where.
But they indiscriminately took it down rather than warn us, whatever it was.
I wonder if somebody complained about something.
No, I don't think that's what it was. I don't know. Yeah, Barry.
What I hear is that GoDaddy has a big problem. That if you look at Down Detector and you look at GoDaddy at like 3:30 this afternoon, our time out here Pacific time, their trouble just went straight up. They've got all kinds of problems, and their helplines are swamped. We're not the only victim of this thing. They got huge troubles system wide. It's not just us.
Are they overloaded?
Oh yeah. Well, with requests for help and people wanting to know what the heck's going on, you know. Yeah.
So we're not the only site that's down.
Oh no, they've got big problems.
Ah.
It's not us, it's them.
Are we talking about Zoom?
No. Talking about GoDaddy that hosts the UBM website.
Oh.
Y'all carry on just a minute, Barrett. Did you tell David that?
No.
Okay. Y'all hang on.
Well, that's good.
Somebody talk.
That's good to hear. Rather than hear it's content or something like that they're objecting to. Okay. That's just something that'll work out, some kind of technical stuff.
Yeah. there's strange stuff going on, you know, system-wide. They were apparently trying to do some kind of update there at GoDaddy and had some problems, and it's kind of a multifaceted issue, but as usual, they'll get it straightened out. It might take a couple of hours, but they'll get it straightened out.
Yeah, people in that business seem to have a kind of a grip on it a little bit, even though it doesn't look like it.
I hope they do.
All right.
So did we change the password for Zoom?
No, we were just trying to keep some people out, and guy, you got in. No, I'm kidding. Everybody had a problem getting into Zoom today. For some reason, everybody had to enter the password. So Zoom.
But I had the wrong password.
Oh, did you? Where'd you get it?
Well, I've been using it for the last 2 years.
Oh.
And I couldn't get in, so I texted Michael, and he sent me a totally different password.
Anyhow, write it down so you have it.
He changed that password, I don't know, it's probably been about, 6-8 months ago. He gave us maybe you didn't get it when he sent it out.
Yeah, but I've been getting on with my old password for...
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with that. He did change it. Go ahead, Barry.
There's a difference between meeting password and personal password. What they were asking for was meeting password, which is the numbers you got. Your individual password is still good for Zoom, but they needed a meeting password, which works for this Zoom get-together only.
Yeah, I've been using that Zoom meeting password for the last couple of years or whatever, year and a half, however long we've been on here. I've been on here. Whatever.
One's an ID number, Pat, and the other one's just a password. The 212 number is a ID number. The other number that I sent you is the password. That's a 6-digit number. The other one is a 10-digit, I think.
So how come my meeting ID number didn't work? Do you know?
You're here, aren't you?
I used the password to get in, though.
I know, but you also had to use the ID number as well.
Or you wouldn't take it. It would. Okay. Well, whatever. I'll try it next week and see if it works.
Okay. All right. Well, the 212 number is, like Barry was talking about, is for this meeting. Okay? And the password is the individual. And it's the same for everybody. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for squaring it all away. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Marilyn.
Yeah.
Michael, maybe we can pray about this. Casey also, right before we got on the meeting, he brought his phone up here and he had taken a picture of a big old black widow spider that was right outside our back door. And you know, what do spiders do? You know, they have a web. And I was thinking about the internet being the world wide web. I'm just sensing a lot of witchcraft. And when Casey went to try to kill that spider, it got away from him. It got up to the top of the porch where he couldn't reach it. And I don't know if that's from the Lord or not, but just sensing there's a lot of witchcraft and,
yep.
You know, it's not just from the factious, it's from the deep state, the apostates, yep. The Satanists, the witches, the sorcerers, the wizards, the warlocks. It's from the Lord's been showing me also, I've been praying against occultic spirits mm-hmm. coming against the man child and the bride and this end time body of Christ. And just Father, we just come against this. We just cast down all their prayers of darkness, incense of darkness, all their mutterings and chantings and mantras. There's no power in any of that. We cast down all their curses and spells and hexes and vexes. It's all witchcraft because it's all rebellion to you, Father, and your word. So it's all just falls under the category of witchcraft. Father, we have the authority. We take the dominion. We cast down the satanic altars. We cast down all their sacrifices. We cast down all their rituals. We scatter the witches' covens in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And just whatever this attack is against, specifically against UBM, but Father, any other ministries that are led of the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of truth, teaching the truth. We cast all those assignments down in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. I cast down all the assignments against our lives and against everything that you've given us stewardship over, Father, our homes, the possessions you've given us stewardship over, our communication devices. We cast down all those attacks in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I'm just praying for protection. And we thank you and praise you. And Lord, while we're sitting here praying, Lord, we all pray to be refreshed with the Holy Spirit, that we are filled with joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that this situation with the website being down, that it's already taken care of. And glory to God. Glory to God. And Father, I thank you for the revelations that you give us, the ministering of the Holy Spirit with the gifts and the anointing on the gifts here, and all to the glory of Jesus, who always glorified our Father. So Father, we thank you and praise you that we can ask this and believe for it, and to your glory, and we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to pray something about this too, and I come against all those demons, all those principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, that I break your power over all of God's people, and I command you to cease your activities over all of God's people, and all the lies that you're trying to deceive them with. I come against them, and I pray that your word, Lord, I thank you, your word says that you will build your church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Amen. So we come against that, what the enemy's trying to do against God's people, and we tell it that all their plans, all their plots, all their schemes will fall to the ground, because we command it to fall to the ground. We command it because Lord wants a people that are going to take dominion over this earth. And you, devil, are not going to stop it because God says he will not allow it to happen. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now we just praise him because we know it's done. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jehoshaphat sent the praises out front first, didn't he? Praise God forevermore. We just praise you, Lord, for doing this. We thank you, Father. Glory be to God. You're our Father. We're your sons and daughters, Lord. We know that you are a great and wonderful God, a loving God. Thank you, Father, for doing this for all of us. In Jesus' name. No, we know we're not perfect, but we certainly have you. And when we have you and you're the mainstay of our life, Lord, we are perfect in your eyes. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for this great, wonderful thing that you're doing with this ministry and the website. Lord, and all the things that are going wrong over here, Lord, we know that the enemy is scared and you have him on the run. We send out the warrior angels to take care of business, and we thank you, Father, for it. We thank you, Father, that they're going out to get the website back, going out to open up the things that the enemy has tried to shut down for us, and we thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for all the communications equipment that's now being fixed in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. You're a great and wonderful God. And we love you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit, like Marilyn said. Fill us to overflowing, Lord, that there ain't nothing left in us but you, Lord. Squeeze out all the things that have hindered us in our walk with you, Lord. And I thank you for it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You said in John 14:14, and if we pray in your name, we shall have it. Father, we know we do. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Whoo, my. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Great and mighty God, we praise you and all you are. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Woo, I feel better now than I ever did. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I just thank you, Lord. We just praise you for the fact that you have translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. We love you, Lord. We praise you, and we thank you for your strength. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you that you Lord, have separated us from the evil of this world, from every aspect. We thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper. No weapon formed against us will prosper. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for your strength, your protection, your guidance. Lord, we just agree together tonight, and thank you for your deliverance of this ministry, Lord, of the equipment, the internet, everything that is hindering and trying to hinder and standing and coming against us, against your word, Lord, that it is bound and it is destroyed, it is shut down, it is squelched in the name of Jesus, and that your word will permeate not only our lives, Lord, but the lives of all those in here. Lord, we thank you for the messages that we've been receiving as of late from David, that you're bringing through him, Lord, to us and strengthening us. Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for the grace that abounds unto us. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for your deliverance, your life, your light, your direction and your strength for your purpose, Lord, to bring forth your life within us, within those that hear your words, Lord, for your words are life. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your love for us, your deliverance for us, and the good word that you are speaking to each and every one of us, even now. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
On the thank you, Father. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us to judgment, we condemn them right now in Jesus' name. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We're redeemed from the curse of the law, and we're released from these attacks in the name of Jesus. And I stand right now having our loins girded with the truth of the gospel. And I have the breastplate of righteousness, and our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. We take that shield of faith, and we're covered with the helmet of salvation. And we use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and slash the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. We whack you out of here in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for what you're doing right now in the spirit realm. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. We are delivered from the power of darkness and translated, every one of us, into the kingdom of God's love and his dear Son. Praise you, Father. Woo, glory to God. Have mercy. Have mercy and grace, Lord. How many of you know that we can tread on these demons? We walk on them. We have dominion over them. We have authority, which is power unimaginable to do the things that we're doing right now in the spirit realm. And everybody knows that the things are clearing up right now over us. Everything is clearing up right now. We have a straight tube to the throne room in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that this is over. And we praise you for it, Father. Snack a rib, you're gone. We thank you, Lord, for sending confusion into the enemy's camp right now. Not only confusion, send that lying demon down there to scatter them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for doing that. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Woohoo! Oh, my, 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 my. Amen, Jilly. With the right arm of the Lord, we shall do valiantly in the name of Jesus. Hi, Andrew. Well, you got to the last of the battle, buddy. You got on the winning side, though. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Anybody need prayer? Yep, Pat.
Yes, I can use some prayer. And I would, the messages that David has been speaking about authority and this fighting and the standing against the faction. And I just need prayer to know exactly how I am to deal with it. I know that David is taught a lot and preached a lot about it, but I need personal prayer on how to deal in my particular situation, in my family, in my friends, and whatnot. So I'm just asking for wisdom, and I'm asking for grace and faith, and to lock on to the truths that God has for me, to unlock the whatever weakness or deception that is there, and to overcome it through his truth and his faith. And I'm just asking for prayer to join in Jesus'
name. Amen. Well, Lord, you hear him, Pat. We thank you for answering his prayers, Lord. Give him wisdom and to know how to operate against this factious spirit. First thing we do is bind it up and cast it out of our families. That's what I do. I just bind it up, cast it out. Father, we thank you that he's doing the same thing. And Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you for the wisdom and the revelations into this warfare in families and loved ones, Father. And we thank you for that. Lord, we just thank you when he gets in the spirit that it's automatically going to come out like you want it to, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father,
you,
for
thank you.
Doing a mighty work in Pat's family in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I believe it.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Anybody got a testimony or a praise report? How many of you know the site's back up? We don't even have to look. We know it's back up, don't we? You got to confess it, y'all. Okay. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I don't know what we're supposed to talk about. Jonah, I think, tonight. And whether the man was alive or dead in the belly of the great fish. Who has the answer? And you have to prove it. Oh, I see there's too many up there jumping up trying to get their answer out. Well, actually, as you probably already know, there's not anything in the Word of God that tells us whether he was alive or dead. We have to assume a lot in both cases. But I'm interested to hear some of the things that you found out about Jonah when he went to the belly of the whale and then afterwards and all the things that happened in between them.
I have a conclusion.
Okay.
God kept him alive.
All right. How do you know?
Well, he was alive when he went in and he was alive when he came out.
Okay. That's good enough for me, brother.
And everyone expected him to be dead when he went in anyway. I did have a look at it, and I was trying to work it out. And of course, you know, the detail isn't there. And, you know, there's nothing about what was going on inside the sea creature. And I was thinking, boy, you know, if someone was shrunk and I swallowed them, you know, one would imagine that the stomach acid would do a bit of damage in 3 days. But I have no idea what the environment was, you know, like, because we always imagine, or I always imagine, there's this like, you know, bubble of air and everything else in there. But, you know, when he was thrown overboard, they expected him to be dead, killed, everyone, including himself. And, you know, and if a great sea creature come upon me and swallowed me, I mean, you'd be absolutely, I think, terrified. I would be, I would imagine.
Amen. We lost you. He froze up, Greg.
So there he was. Sorry, I'm breaking up.
Well, you were, but that's okay. Just go, keep going. We can.
He went down to the grave or Sheol, and was there for 3 days, as was Jesus. So, our physically being alive or dead is basically neither here nor there with God. So. Hence, I've come to the conclusion, okay, whatever was going on, this he has done for me for the last 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. It doesn't make any difference one way or the other. Go ahead, Leon.
Well, I'm not sure if he was alive or dead either, but I do know that he was in Sheol. That's where that was in his prayer, that the Lord was bringing him up from Sheol. And that's the place of the dead. It's the place that's Abraham's bosom and Hades, so to speak. That's what it says in the New Testament. In the story of Lazarus and the rich man, Lazarus died in the arms of the angels and taken to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man dies and he opens his eyes in hell. So that's the place of the dead, and that was his prayer that he would brought up out of Sheol. So again, I don't know if he was alive or dead, but I was thinking he was alive because he was praying, but then I was thinking, well, no, he was in Sheol, and that's the place of the dead. So I'm confused about that. But anyway, that's that.
Okay. Let's see. Pat, did you have something on that? I saw your hand raised a while ago.
Well, actually, I was thinking of something else, but Leon just kind of brought it up to my memory that out of many of the people that died, the testimonies that you've heard and read about and whatever, where people had died, and they were on their way to hell, and the Lord took them down there, I guess as close as you can get, you know, and they saw what was in there, and then God brought them back up to life again through various different testimonies and whatever. So in one sense, they died. I remember quite a few of them where the preacher said that they, you know, that those people died, and but God brought them back to life. So that whole process in between them dying and God bringing them back wasn't a change to the people that were feeling it or that were experiencing it. They didn't lose consciousness or reality. They simply moved from one place to the other. So I don't know if that's what Job went through or whatever, but that was the only thing that came to my mind.
Okay. Let me just throw something out there. What if he was just using Sheol as a saying, look, where I'm at is hell. It is sheer hell down here. You know, that's one thing that you can look at. Go ahead, Julie.
I have a question regarding Jonah and in Matthew 12 and 39, starting in 38, Jesus gave them the sign of Jonah. He said, you know, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The man of Nineveh will arise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. My question is, why did God give him that sign if Jonah wasn't dead? Because Jesus died and was in the earth for 3 days, or 3 nights and 3 days, and he was resurrected. Now I know that, you know, Jonah repented and Nineveh repented. And I know that was part of it because they were seeking, you know, for some sign from heaven that Jesus was who he said he was when he'd been demonstrating you know, the love and the power of God through all of this. So I was just wondering why he used that as an example, because that was more of a repentance thing, but yet Jesus was, as Jonah was in the earth, or Jonah was in the belly of a whale, Jesus was in the earth for 3 days and three nights. He died. We know that. So that's my question. Michael, you're muted.
I'm just talking away. Somebody's got an answer. And we're going to find it out. Yeah, Missy.
Can I just make a quick comparison with what Julie said there? Is that Jesus died, but he didn't lose consciousness. He didn't. He went and preached to the souls in hell, did he not?
His physical body died, and that's what. Correct. So his physical body died, and that's what I think. The question is Jonah's physical body died?
Neither did Lazarus lose consciousness, nor did the rich man lose consciousness. Because he opened his eyes in hell. He died, and he opened his eyes in hell, or in Hades is what it says. So.
Well, that's different than what we're talking about here as far as Jonah. Jonah, we're trying to determine whether he died physically in the whale while he was in the whale. And the question was, why is he a type and a shadow when Jesus died? And he's not dying, or Jonah didn't die. Missy, got the answer.
Well, I was just going to say, it's just symbolic. There's a lot of parables, a lot of symbolism where it's not, I'm trying to think of an instance, but everything is not play out exactly as the original or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Do you mean like a parable?
I think it's just symbolic. I think it's just
parable.
Symbolic.
It's one's natural and the other one is spiritual. And it's just backwards. Somebody.
You were cutting out, Mike. I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, I was? I don't receive that in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody else? So what'd you say? You say it was a parable? Missy?
Yeah, it's just symbolic, you know, like once.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I'm yeah, talking. Babe. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me? You can't hear me? What?
Testing one, testing one, two.
You're delayed and cutting out.
Testing one, testing one, two, two.
Okay. I hear you fine here, Michael.
Thank you, Pat.
Okay, you're in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this in the name of Jesus. I cast this down, this cutting out, me having my problems with the audio. In the name of Jesus, I command it to work properly, and all attacks the enemy must go in the name of Jesus. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that. Greg, you're going back to my amateur radio day.
See, you're cutting out again. I can't hear you.
Can anybody else hear me?
I can hear everybody just fine, and thank you. I agree with Missy that
I can hear
evil spirit, you get out of her internet, you get out of her Amen. Zoom, you get out of her connection in Jesus' name. I thank you, Laura, for clear connection for Missy. Amen. She Amen. Can hear everything clearly.
Amen. Clear. I cast down all witchcraft in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, you're going to have to hang on, Lana. We got to figure out whether or not Jonah was alive or dead first. All right, Dave, go ahead.
I kind of think it's kind of like Zoom. You know, this is, you know, on Zoom, if somebody acts up, this is what Greg was telling me, that maybe so once in a while they had their Zoom conference going and somebody would kind of act up or get out of line. They could put them in another separate Zoom room outside of the regular room. I think God did that with Jonah. He just took him out of the earth, put him in his own little Zoom room by himself. I mean, he didn't have to go to Sheol, but he probably felt like he was there. But he's in his own little room until God let him out. And he brought him right back in with the world, you know. So that's how God can do things. He can do things just like we do, but he can do the physical. He can actually take you off, put you there, then put you back.
He gave him a timeout, did he?
That was probably the best timeout I've ever seen. I wouldn't want to experience that. But.
No, me either. Well, that's one explanation. Yeah, Andrew.
Now, I was thinking here, as he's putting a comparison between Jonah being 3 days in there and with Jesus here, you know. And, you know, there's also the 3 millennial days. Perhaps there'll be a correction in prophecy for those who will accept it also in our day, concerning some of the things where they have false prophecy too when the man-child comes. Or am I way out in left field here somehow?
Are you in left field, brother?
Man-child's going to come. He's going to correct some of these people in the church concerning what is true prophecy and true truth teaching.
I don't know. How does that relate to Jonah and the whale being dead or alive?
Well, it's 3 days.
Oh, okay.
We're on the morning of the third day now.
Okay. Greg says Desiree has a definitive answer. No? Okay. All right. Go ahead, Leon.
I still don't have a definitive answer, but remember that African pastor that got in a car accident and died for 3 days, and then they were in the church, they were going to bury him right after that, and he rose from the dead. Now, was he dead or was he not dead? The doctors all pronounced him dead.
You're getting a blank look because I don't see how it applies to Jonah.
I guess I would like to know what he saw when he was dead for 3 days, that pastor. You know,
what I was saying, Leon, is that when he was in the whale's belly, when he said that he was in hell or Sheol, that he meant it as a figurative of speech. In other words, you know, I would feel like that I was in hell if I was in the belly of a whale. You know, it's not going to be like that cartoon picture where you see Jonah sitting in there with a table and a chair and a little stove there where he can cook him breakfast and things. You know, it ain't going to be that way. I saw a YouTube thing about a Japanese guy that got swallowed by a big fish. And anybody, yeah, Leon, you saw it, didn't you? He was, I don't remember how long he was in there, but he was in there long enough. He's been in there longer than I want to be. But when he came out, the acids from the whale's belly took all his hair off. I mean, he was slick as a button. So, but he survived. He was alive in that whale for 3 days. So, why wouldn't Jonah? And I think the Lord was confirming my answer. Come on, somebody smile, for goodness sake. I was just kidding. go ahead, Will.
Hi, Michael. It's Louise, actually. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 6, the cords of Sheol were entangling me. I encountered the snares of death. And that was David in his song of deliverance when Saul was killed. So, I don't think he went to hell. And I don't think that's why I believe it's a figure of speech. And the Lord says he had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Yep. And Jonah speaks of praying with seagrass around his head. I really think he was alive or kept alive to repent of being or not going where he was supposed to be going. Anyway, I'm going to get back to Will.
That's a good point, Louise. Thank you for that. I'm satisfied.
Yeah, how many times does it talk about Sheol in the Psalms, you know? And you know it's just figurative, you know, when David talks about it. Very good point.
What was that 2 Samuel reference?
Yeah, again? What was that reference again, Louie? 2 Samuel what?
Sorry, it's 2 Samuel 22, verse 6.
22 and 6 is 2 Samuel.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Okay, Judy.
Okay, it's Sue.
Oh, yeah. I was looking on Google to find out if there was anybody that ever had that happen to them. And there's this guy, Luigi something, Marquez or something like that. He was a Spanish fisherman, and he got swallowed by a whale. There was a storm and he got swallowed by a whale. And he said, now I'm not saying that this is true. It might've been just false, but that's what I saw on there. He said that he was in the belly of the whale for 72 hours. The reason why he knew that it was because he had this watch. And it was a waterproof watch, and there was a little light on there so he could keep track of the time while he was in the whale. And he said that he ate fish, raw fish, while he was there. So I don't know. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's kind of funny. He said it stunk really bad. He had to wash for three different times to get the smell out. It was so bad. He said the smell coming out of there was so bad. So I don't know if that was true or not, but... But, you know, anything's possible with God because God says, you know, all things are possible. So, I mean, and you look at the Daniel being in the lion's den. I mean, he fell in there they put him in there and the lions didn't bother him at all. You know, he wasn't in there that long. But the thing is, as soon as he got out and other people were put in, boom, they're just taken away right away, you know, eaten right away. Mm-hmm. But and then what crosses my mind is when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace. That I think that could be the worst thing to me. That'd be terrible going in a fiery furnace, and God kept them. Not a hair on their head was singed. You know, so it, you know, what's it to the Lord? He can do anything. He can keep Jonah alive in a whale. He didn't have to die. He did pray in the whale when he was in the belly of the whale too. So I think he was alive.
I was looking on the internet and it said that, he prayed inside the fish and he prayed to the Lord. So he had to be alive at least that long. And then the language of Jonah's prayer, it's poetic in nature. And he said he just interpreted reference to the pit didn't mean that he actually went to the pit, but he was just talking about it.
Okay. I felt like it.
Yeah, felt like it.
Yeah, Claire? No? Okay. Hi, Julie.
I'm sure Jonah felt like he had been separated from God. I'm sure he didn't hear anything from God. And I'm sure he was really, felt like he was in Sheol. You know, well, you know how you are. You know how you are when you've done something wrong and you know, and you're repenting and you're crying out to hear from God again. You want restoration to, you know, the Lord and his ear again, and you want to hear from him. So I can imagine where you're right, that that's just a poetic, you know, he was expressing his heart, what he was going through in the belly of the fish.
Yep, that's, Barry.
Let me go read this. This is Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. And Jehovah prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And God prepared a special fish for this event. This wasn't your run-of-the-mill whale or anything else. This thing was specially made for, I think, survival. Why? Because he could have died of any fish. But this one was specially prepared for this event. So in my opinion, just that single verse, it looks like to me that that whale was prepared specially for Noah, for Jonah's survival. That's it.
That's a good point. I believe it. What kind of fish was it? It's a big one, wasn't it?
Special.
It's a great old big one.
So that takes out what I said as being wrong. Because it's 3 days and three nights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 36 hours. Is that right? No, that ain't right. That's 72 hours. Let's see, I can add in my head. I don't need a calculator. Like the Walmart checkout people. Okay, I didn't say that. Come on, somebody else. Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
Just to build on what Barry just said, that God made that fish for Jonah. He also took that fish right to the spot and he puked him out. Pretty close, I would say, pretty close to Nineveh. But, you know, Nineveh's inland, so he had to do some walking. But, so, Barry got a good point. You guys all got good points.
Yeah. God's AI fish. Y'all will get it in a minute. Go ahead, Dave.
I think there's a number of things that are very interesting about Jonah's story. His whole story actually is pretty interesting, but he does have some interesting things that are happening during this time, which are, I find, very closely related to what was going on with Jesus too, it seems like, which seemed kind of strange. Not exactly the same, but they were happening like they were the same. Because Jonah, here he's in this, before, I'm not even talking about him being in the fish now, I'm going before that. He's in this boat, and this the Lord prepares this terrible storm that's making everybody fear for their lives on this ship. And they're throwing everything overboard. And the shipmaster comes to Jonah and finds him asleep at the foot of the boat. Well, I thought, wow, you know what? Didn't Jesus, he was the disciples, and their boat was getting swamped with a storm, and the disciples were going crazy, like, we're going to die. And they go to Jesus, and he's at the sleep at the foot of the boat. I thought that was very interesting how they were both asleep in this terrible storm. That's an interesting parallel right there. The difference is Jesus gets up and calms the storm and rebukes the disciples for the lack of faith. Jonah turns around and says, no, it's nothing that you guys basically did. It's me. I'm the one that's the problem. Toss me over and everything will be fine. That's the solution. He gets tossed over and the waves go away. Jesus just gets up and calms the storm with his mouth, but he rebukes the disciples for their lack of faith. Interesting how the scenarios changed. Then after that, Jonah gets captured, is thrown in the water, in the whale, for 3 days and three nights. And we both know the Lord compares himself to Jonah, that he's going to be 3 days and three nights in Sheol. They both released. Jonah got released from Sheol by the fish after 3 days and three nights on the shores on dry land. Jesus was released from Sheol after 3 days and three nights and came back too in the earth. There's a parallel there. So we're finding these parallels in our life. They're not exactly how they got there. It's not the same way, but the parallel is like, well, that's uncanny. That's why Jesus points that out. It's like he wasn't going to be held by Sheol, like neither was Jonah. Go ahead, Leon.
I just wanted to ask you, do you think that Jonah could have calmed that storm if he would have spoken it?
No, he did. He jumped. They threw him overboard and the storm got calmed.
Yeah, well, they threw him overboard because God wanted the fish to swallow him. But do you think that he could have just rebuked that storm and it stopped like Jesus did?
No, I don't think so. I think he had to go to Sheol. But it's strange that he knew, hey, you toss me overboard, everything's going to be fine. And then he's in Sheol or in the belly of that whale for 3 days and three nights. You know, that was his idea of saving everybody. So he actually became the savior for those people by going overboard and essentially dying for them.
Oh, God. Go ahead, Claire. Greg, you ain't right, boy.
I'm just reading that now. It's quite funny. When Dave was talking, I realized that Jonah had a spirit of condemnation because he was prideful, because he thought he knew better. And so what did he do? When you have condemnation, you are inactive. You cannot be anything except passive, and you will allow bad things to happen to you. So he willingly took the punishment of going overboard, but he did that himself because of his pride. And then God's grace brought him back up and said, actually, you will finish the job I have for you. Cast off that condemnation and get yourself to Nineveh.
But I kind of wonder if the Lord put that in his mind to jump, to be thrown over. Because Jesus used that as a parallel for him to be 3 days and three nights in Sheol. So
he could have put it in his head, but it might not have been that like a pure thought in that, oh, I'm just going to get rid of myself because I've messed up now. So I'm just going to go overboard and I'll just die to rescue these people. Do you know, like a very, what is that thing when you feel all sorry for yourself? Yes. Sorry for yourself. Is
pity,
that the correct?
Pity.
Yeah, pity, self-pity.
Yeah, like maybe he had the condemnation and he had the self-pity and he had everything because of his initial sin, which was pride and disobedience. And then God put him in that belly and the grace of God is much bigger than our sins. And he prayed in that moment of weakness. He prayed and he was washed clean, literally, when he came out of the water and got to go and finish his job.
But I was also thinking in 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now all these things happened to them by way of an example, and they were written for our admonition on whom the ends of the ages have come. I'm wondering, his life was meant to be that parable. There's a parable for this too. So, I mean, he lived out a parable for us.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, Leah.
Well, yeah, what, Claire? Sorry, God. Well, Claire was talking about self-pity and so forth, that he was just going to sacrifice himself. Well, he said later, when the gourd came up over his head and then died and the worm ate it, and he said, I should just die anyway, you know. He did that same thing with another situation there, that he didn't like what God did. And he didn't like what God was doing with Nineveh, and he didn't like what he's doing with the worm and the gourd.
Yeah, he was very prideful.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he had a really complete, I would say, turnaround. Exactly what I'm seeing, and I agree with Leon on that. Because here he is, we know why, technically we're hearing, the way I've heard is the reason why he didn't want to preach Nineveh, because he knew Nineveh was going to be one of the nations that was going to cause the demise of Israel because of their rebellion. He knew that. I guess he knew that was coming, my understanding. So he didn't want to have Nineveh to have that ability to repent and give them time to turn. He was looking for that nation to be destroyed.
He hated them.
Yeah. So that's why he avoided that. But even then, after all that success, it seems like he would have said, well, you know, Lord, been good to me after all this. Because look, his life was given back to him. Well, that didn't seem to be the case. He wasn't all that happy after all that happened. I mean, I don't think he was really all that, even though he went and preached, you know, after 40 days, Nineveh would be destroyed, and they repented. He doesn't appear to have any joy over that at all.
Yeah. Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking, actually, when Dave brought that up, I was thinking of bringing up the same thing, but it seemed like it was off of the subject that we were on. But since Dave brought it up, I'm going to join in on it. But the interesting thing, one of the aspects of that I thought was interesting, is that Jonah, being in the bottom of that, one of the parallels that he shared with Jesus, even though we know that Jonah was in rebellion against God, he was not doing it, wasn't going to do it. Nope, not for me. That's not mine. I'm heading the other direction. But he had a relationship with God. He had a relationship with God. And the result of that relationship that he had was, in the midst of that storm, even though he knew that storm was God had raised it up, he was in the belly, he was in that the bottom of that boat asleep, because he was at rest, he was at peace. Not peace that he was not antagonistic to God, that's not the peace I'm talking about, but he knew exactly what the situation was, and he was resting, because he knew God had the whole, God, I don't know, it was something the Lord showed me that I'm not quite able to articulate it, but that relationship, he was at rest even where he was at. Now, and that's why he was, when they finally got him out of bed, raised him up, and they said, you know, basically, what shall we do? He said, well, just toss me overboard. Your problems are going to be over. And exactly, and they didn't even want to do it. But he knew exactly that God raised this storm up in his life. I don't know that I would go about recommending that, but it is very interesting that there was that relationship brought that. So I am going to have to rethink that whole process. That was something that the Lord showed me way back, but I'm seeing some other parallels how in Revelation 3, where God spewed this church out of his mouth, you know, and it almost kind of aligns with what he did with Jonah in turning his heart, turning him. And I don't think Jonah's heart was really turned. It doesn't appear that his heart was really turned. He just, God got the better of him, I think, and spewed him out and said, now you're going to go preach the message, or you're going back in the fish or whatever. But
well, at least he was ready to listen, wasn't he?
He was prepared. So,
yeah, you whatever. Think that fish was still on the beach waiting for him just in case?
Well, I think he probably thought that's the last time he's going to say, okay, big boy, you do anything you want, you know, we'll see who comes out on top, because he learned a lesson. He didn't come out on top. Anyway.
Yeah. Go ahead, Greg.
The eating of the fish on the beach, by the way, yes, it is humorous, but I do see a parallel, but there's a whole lot of parallels I'm seeing. I'm wondering, what was Jonah thinking at the start of the book where he went to Tarshish to escape from the presence of the Lord? I don't know what his idea of the boundaries of God's presence was. I tend to think God was going, you want to test my boundaries? Try this, you know, and down into the drink. What else was there that just came up? You know, yes, the storm on the sea that Jesus calmed, and the men in the boat, in both cases, they were in awe of the God after the storm was calmed. You know, the parallel with baptism is also, you know, to me it's right there. And what I'm not sure if it doesn't escape me, at least, is that I've had a look at the Hebrew for the great creature, and its association with the God of Nineveh, which was Dagon, the fish god. There's something going on there, that, you know, because, you know, God could have chosen a bubble to take him down if he wanted to, but he was consumed by something that represents their God, and then God even took him out of that, and then took down, you know, their kingdom in Nineveh.
Amen. Yeah, Andrew.
Okay, since he's 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, I'm going to change that, because at the end of the third day, there's the morning of the third day, and then there's the night of the third day, and that's when the great white throne happens and eternity starts, and the rest is done with, you know. So there's an eternal life there, and Jonah was restored on the third day, back out of Sheol, out of the fish's mouth. So that's where Jonah began his new eternity. Because he was a prophet, and I'm sure he prophesied that, and his prophecy was delayed anyway, so, for Nineveh.
Amen. Did you have something, Desiree?
I typed it in, but I just really liked what Pat said there about the peace that Jonah had being in the storm. And I deal with Christians whose lives are very often very chaotic, and they don't understand why, and they're living in very obvious rebellion and sin. And it's very obvious to me why their life is in chaos, but for them, they're very baffled by it. And I like that Jonah had this relationship with God that Pat pointed out, that he understood that why his life was in, why he was in the storm. That was beautiful. So if we have a proper relationship when we are in a storm, we understand why we have to go through it. I thought it was really nice.
Amen. Yeah, that was neat.
And then for Jonah, I just, why I tend to lean toward he may have been dead inside the fish. It was mainly I've been swimming a lot, and there's been a lot of weeds where I go swimming, but and any time that my head would have gotten wrapped around the weeds is a panic moment and I would die. Never in my life have weeds been wrapped around my neck and my head in the water. And especially out at sea, I imagine the weeds would be much further down. Anyway, that was just for me looking at it. Like, how would you survive that? That's all I got.
But God. But God. Welcome, yeah, Claudia.
Keep them from the dead just as easy as you can keep them alive. For me, they're exactly the same.
Amen. Good to have you, Claudia. Bless you, girl. All right. Anybody else on why, what, whether or not Jonah was alive or dead in the whale, Billy? Has anybody got anything on if he was dead? You know, I went online and looked at some of that stuff, and for the most part, it looks like a lot of the mainline denominational type people believe that he was dead, and they gave the type of the resurrection as a, for instance. But there were a few that believed that he was alive. So, I don't know. I believe he's alive. Go ahead, Andrew.
Someone told me once that nobody dies. They just change addresses anyway. So, if you're going to begin your eternal life here while you're on Earth, you never die, no matter what side you're on here, right?
Okay. Y'all hear that thunder? You hear it, Leon? Yeah. All right, anybody else on Jonah? Yeah, Leanne, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say about what Claire was saying, what Pat was saying, and so forth, when Jonah said his prayer in the belly of the whale, he finished it with the statement that I will perform my vow. That's not the exact words he used, but he says, I'm going to perform my vow. The Lord is my salvation. So I think that that vow was that he would complete his job there, go to Nineveh and warn them. This is what he did. But we know he wasn't happy about it, but he did complete the task. And, so I think that's where that he was talking about that, but that's just my speculation.
Amen. Okay. Hey, was that Theo? What did that website say? I just now saw your chat thing up there.
Brandy just texted me and said the site's up.
Oh, the site's up? Well, praise God. What did you say, Theo?
It's just all the outages, and there's a map. It was all over the United States.
Yep. For GoDaddy?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, UBM is up.
Yeah, okay, great. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father. Thank you, Father. All right. Okay, did somebody else have, I thought I saw somebody else have a hand up. I think we beat this whale to death. And Barry says, yes, we have. Okay, Lana, what was that question? I couldn't find it in the chat now. What was the question you had?
So, pretty much all our entire lives, if we had whistled and an elder had heard us, we were told, stop calling the devil. You are calling the devil. Oh, yeah. And
I've never heard that.
It came up because Rion was whistling at work, and I was like, hey, here's a question for y'all.
Okay.
I don't know where it came from. I don't know.
When you whistle, you're whistling for the devil. Huh. I don't know. I've never heard that. I used to whistle a lot when I could whistle. Anybody got any answers? Okay, y'all research that. We'll have that one on. Another wives' tale. Yeah, could be. Most of them wives do that all the time anyway. Go ahead, Claire. And Daniel.
Daniel wants to share something.
Okay. Guess what? I pray to God to let me see the Lego piece that I was looking for, and then I saw the piece I was looking for on the white table.
Okay, you have to interpret.
Right, he says that he was getting frustrated because he couldn't find his Lego piece, so he prayed to God to show him where it would be, and then it was right there.
Praise God. Praise God. That a boy, a mighty man of God there. Glory to God. If you got faith, man, I'm telling you what.
That's awesome, Daniel.
That is. That's really awesome, buddy. Yeah. When you go, yeah, well, that was quick.
How old are you, Daniel?
He's old enough to know about faith.
He's 4 and he's going to play with his Lego some more.
He's 4?
4.
Yeah. All right.
Claire, I've got a grandson that loves them Legos too. Every time a birthday or something comes around, that's what he wants, is Legos.
Yeah. It's all for my feet though.
Okay, Missy.
I have a 30-year-old son who likes all the Star Wars Legos. He has them on a shelf above his TV and below his TV. My son, Kurt.
Oh.
The one that's a daddy, yeah. A new daddy. Yeah,
that's what Jude was in. He's in that Star Wars garbage.
Does he pray when he misplaces one?
Probably not.
Go ahead, Lana. Or Theo.
Yeah, we had a similar story as we just heard. We had misplaced a cable for charging Lana's scale in the kitchen, and that thing's pretty important. And we ran out of batteries. They pretty much just said, Lord, we need to find that cable sooner rather than later, show it to us. And I went to go look in the corner where I never would imagine something to be. It's where the bowling balls sit. And sure enough, it's just laying there waiting for us. So praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Well, what made you want to go over there and look, huh? 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 That was God.
Yep. Amen.
Yeah, I've been believing for a couple months that eventually would show up, probably right about the time I'd run out of batteries. And you know it, last battery. And Theo comes in the kitchen and says, guess what I found?
All right. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Michael, can you relate the 5 ball bearings that were lost by Tim? Tim's not here, is he?
The 5 what?
The 5 bearings that were lost by Tim.
Oh, I can't tell it like he did it, but he lost he lost, I think it was a thrust bearing. He lost all the needles out of it. There's five of them. And he was putting a transmission he's putting back together? Yeah. And he just felt like that God was going to show him where they were. He dumped them out on the ground, all over the ground, and somehow or another. But he got his magnet. He's got a lot more patience than a lot of folks. And he took his magnet, and he went in this area, and bloop, he found one of them. He's got four more to go. And he said, he'd look, he couldn't find it, but he put his magnet down. He went out a little bit further, and he went over here. And then another one came up on there, and he put that one in there too. Now, we're not talking just a few minutes here. We're talking minutes, big minutes. Then he goes around, and I don't remember how far he went, but it's a wide area. And these little needle bearings are about like that. They're real small. And anyway, he ended up finding every one of them like that. And they were quite a ways apart from each other. And it was actually a miracle. It was just a mighty miracle. But he was praying the whole time, Lord, show me where the next one is. Show me where the next one is. And he found them. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Barry.
Since we're on the subject about working on cars and having miracles, I had something, you know, happen, a month or so ago. I've been working on our car, and I dropped a fastener, a bolt, a small bolt, and it dropped down somewhere under the hood of the car. I looked and looked and got my flashlight, looked all over the place, couldn't find it. And it's when I was replacing the radiator, and had to use another bolt that didn't match all the other stuff on the car. I didn't like it, you know. Got it put back together, and I was working on the car, I don't know, like 2 weeks later, doing something underneath the car, and this thing just fell out from a little ledge it was on, and the car had been driven, you know, 100 miles or so during that two-week period. It didn't fall out. It fell out just on its own when I was working underneath the car. God says, here you go. It was amazing.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord.
It was astounding. I'm still just so amazed and thanking God that, you know, it was special. You know, here's a special, you know, testimony for you. You know, God showing that He's powerful, because, you know, on the roads around here with all these curves and everything, and driving 100 miles, that thing's still there, just ready to fall out, is amazing. Anyway, that's my story.
Man, I got one similar to that. We got a little 30 horse tractor, and for the shields, the on the engine shields, it's got a little screw, 10 millimeter screw that holds it in place. And I was out there changing oil or doing something, and that thing just left. I don't know what happened to it. I couldn't find it, and I looked all over the place. And I prayed, and well, I went inside and got another one, made a screw to make it work. And the next day, I believe it was the next day, it could have been two or three days later, David was fooling around out there, and he found it out in the grass, of all things, out in the grass. So that's another good thing. Yeah. Those things, by the way, they're not 15 or 20 cents anymore. That particular one was $10 from Mahindra. that's why I got me a 10 millimeter screw and put a thumb nut on it. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, Will says, depends on what you whistle. You whistle, if you whistle, she will be coming around the mountain. That would definitely call up an evil spirit. But if you whistle a Christian song, that's 100% fine. Okay, Will. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. I don't know how you can whistle that and conjure up a demon. Come on, Will. That's a good old Southern song there. Country song. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Pat.
When you're talking about finding things and the Lord leading you to things, I had an experience that the Lord gave me a long time ago. Am I able to tell one that's a long time ago? When I first became a Christian, and the Lord led me into the Baptist religion, and they don't traditionally, at least the ones that were around me, don't traditionally believe in God's leading through anything other than just reading the scripture or whatever. So at that time, the Lord was leading me to kind of break out of that mold. I started, he put me on a path to clearing my conscience. And I started writing down, I went through and started writing down a list of all of the people that I knew I had offended in my life. Now, I don't know this is necessary, but this is what the Lord did in my particular situation in the context of that religion I was in at the time. So one of these situations was a relationship I had with, and I went through a lot of stuff. I mean, I, you know, listed a list, and I went through and I went back to everybody that I could think of, calling people up and confessing basically confessing what I had done wrong, et cetera, and asked them to forgive me. This is not an idea that I come up with on my own, although it was scriptural backed, but it was, I learned it from a teaching. Nevertheless, I went through a list, and as I went through that list, the more I went, it seemed like God was breaking my heart, was tenderizing my heart, and he was becoming so very close and present to me through that process. But I made it all kind of all the way through the list, but there was one person I couldn't ever find. I couldn't contact them. They were like, it was years ago before, and I lost contact with them. I didn't know where they were at. And so I just gave it to the Lord. Said, well, this one is still out there. You know, I want to talk to this person and confess my sin and ask her to forgive me, etc. But I can't find her. I don't know how to do it. And I gave it to the Lord and let it set. And probably 3 or 4 months later, the Lord said, I want you to listen, pay attention, because I'm going to lead you to this girl. And I said, great. So a friend of mine called me, and he, on the weekends, he got a job driving Hertz rental cars back to they would have an overload of cars in one location, and he would grab a bunch of people and they'd drive all of these cars over to another city, and then they'd all hop in one car and come back, type of thing. And they'd, you know, give them $50 or whatever it was to do it. And so he called me up one day and asked me if I was interested to go this weekend. And the Lord prompted me at that time and said, this is I need you to go. This is where it's at. And so all through that process, I went down that morning, and I thought I was going to, you know, meet this person here at Hertz or when we were picking up the car or something. And that didn't happen. But it was growing within me all through the day to keep an eye out and watch, because I was going to find this person somewhere along the line. And we drove down the freeway, drove down the line, and we pulled into a rest stop, and I got out and I was looking all over the place because I was expecting to bump into this person. And then we drove all the way, you know, a couple more stops, and then we finally made it to the destination and this was in San Antonio. And I knew that this person must be around, because the San Antonio is where this person had lived 10 years before or whatever it was. And so we pulled into the Hertz dealer there, and I walked around the Hertz dealer there to find, because I was expecting to see this girl or whatever, and I didn't find her, but I knew that I was going to find her somewhere in this situation. And we got there to the Hertz, and they said, no, it's what it was we were getting ready to turn the cars in, but the Hertz dealer said, no, we have too many cars here. I need you to take it over across town to this other parking lot that we have, and we'll drop all the cars off of that. So every one of us jumped in these separate cars and we took off. And I followed the crew, trying to stay up with everybody. And the guy in front of me went over an overpass and turned in a right at a light. And I come up over the overpass and I hit the stop sign and the stoplight. And when I hit that stoplight, I realized I was in the place where I knew there was a Sears on the corner there. And I knew where I was at because I had been there 10 years before with this girl. And I knew that three blocks down the road past this Sears and to the right was this girl's house. And so everybody turned right, but I just, as soon as the light hit, I went straight and went over the hill, took a right and stopped right in front of her house. The Lord led me all the way from Oklahoma City all the way down to San Antonio to this girl's house. I went up there and knocked on the door. The girl was not there. They didn't even own the house, but they were renting from the mother, and she gave me her telephone number, et cetera. And I actually went and was able to make contact with her. Now, this was something that the Lord led me through even in those days, before I even was aware of the Spirit leading, Holy Spirit guiding, and the truth of the baptism of the Spirit, and none of that was even relevant to me at that time. But God led me through that process, and I was able to make contact. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in.
Yep, that's awesome. God can do that. That was quite a ways away, too, wasn't it, Pat?
Oklahoma, so then what
City
happened?
To San Antonio. Oh, hush, Malcolm.
Come on, I want to hear the rest of the story.
It's not your business.
Here I am. That's the rest of the story.
Yeah, there you go. How you doing, Malcolm? You about to get caught up, bud?
I'm redoing the connectors on the car battery setup here. Quite a job. Just replacing the connectors. They got so worn over the years. You know, the old lead connectors, they get deformed after a while to the point where they won't even hold on.
They're going to come out with that free electric here in a little bit. You don't have to worry about that. No, I'm sure. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Everybody that just develops stuff like that seems to disappear.
Well, this was Tauslet that developed that. Anyway, praise the Lord. Okay, anybody else? Go ahead, Judy. You raised your hand, didn't you? No? Okay. Judy. No? Okay. I got you. I saw you do this or something. I don't know. Out of the corner of my eye. Free electricity. No monthly bill.
Desiree had her hand up, Michael.
Yeah, Desiree. Go ahead.
Just a tiny prayer request. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just visiting a neighbor who's friends, and they're Christian, lovely couple, and their daughter is 30 months pregnant, and she was diagnosed with cancer maybe a month ago, and she's on her second bout of chemo. She got that yesterday, and she's got a little baby. Can I cry?
Yeah.
24 months. And so she's 30 weeks pregnant, and she's hoping to be able to go another 4 weeks, but she'll have two more bouts of chemo during that time.
Did you say she was Christian?
Her parents are. I'm friends with her parents. And so she's come back from Japan to have her children here because the free medical system. And she found out she had cancer when she got here, and the cancer spread throughout her entire body pretty much.
Maybe this is a time for that God will bring her into the kingdom.
And her husband, and that little baby boy would be okay if it's in her belly, even though she's doing chemotherapy. But it was really beautiful. It's my son, who's 2 years old, almost, Oscar, you guys know him. He was dressed identical to the grandfather. They looked the same shoes, same jeans, same shirt, same undershirt. And so I believe it was prophetic, and that they will, that little boy will be okay, but I need the mother to be okay too.
Hi, Mia. What's her name?
Bridget.
Bridget.
I don't usually cry so much. 36 weeks pregnant.
Okay, let's pray. Father, we lift up Bridget to you. You know who we're talking about, Lord, and I thank you for doing a work in her. I break the power of Satan over her spiritual eyes, and I ask, Lord, that you open them up for her, that she'd see that her only course of action for her and that baby is you. And I thank you, Father, for granting repentance to her,
yes,
bringing her into the kingdom, healing her body completely, and bringing a good, healthy baby out.
Yes,
and a good, healthy mom, too. I speak to that cancer right now. I command it to leave her body in the name of Jesus. You spirit of cancer, you go from her in the name of Jesus. You, the spirit of the fear of cancer, you go from her in the name of Jesus. Yes. And that spirit of death, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. And I command that chemotherapy to be neutralized around that baby in the name of Jesus, that nothing will affect that baby in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, for protecting that baby and bringing it out nice and healthy in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to get the glory for this and not the doctors. And I praise you, Father, for this in Jesus' name. Bring Bridget in, Lord.
Yes.
I ask that in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray the Lord of Harvest send somebody that she would listen to her bedside or wherever she is, and witness to her, Lord, and bring her in. I pray that in the name of Jesus. And I declare and decree that, Bridget, you're in the kingdom in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God that Bridget and that baby is going to be both in the kingdom of God and healthy. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for doing this mighty miracle in this family. Amen. And Lord, it'll also bring Daddy in. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah.
Michael?
Yes.
I just looked up her name, so I'd like to pray. Lord, I thank you, Father. You give us names because you have a plan for each and every one of us, Lord. Our name is related to what you have for each one of us. And Bridget, her name means power, strength, vigor, and virtue. So, Lord, I pray that you give her that power, that strength, that vigor, and that virtue to follow you and to be able to withstand all these things that's happening to her, that you would just give her that strength that she needs. Just show her that you are there for her, that you love her. Touch her heart in such a way that she would see that you are there, that you want her to turn to you, that she would call upon your name and be saved in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's do something. Let's have everybody close your eyes and let's see Bridget healed, delivered, happy, and the joy of the Lord all over her in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for that. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I'm seeing Bridget as healed, delivered, set free, and that baby is fine as wine in the summertime. And Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Bridget and her parents and her husband in Jesus' name. I believe it, Lord. I truly believe it, that you're doing a miracle in her right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I see it. I believe it. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yep. Removing all poison from her body and the baby's body in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And Lord, I ask that you give Desiree rest in the knowledge that you're doing this for that family in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. Praise you, Father. Praise God forevermore. Woo! Is God a liar? No, he's not a liar. I didn't say alive. I said the way we say it down here is a liar. You know, I think they say it up north, liar. The devil's a liar. God's not a liar. We can trust him to do what we say he's going to do in his word. We have prayed the prayer of faith, and we believe that what we've prayed is coming to pass, and we're going to have it in Jesus' name. We ain't letting that devil take that woman and that baby in the name of Jesus. You can't have her in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Will.
I just also wanted to pray for Bridget. Ach, Lord, I pray for the family. I pray for her parents, Lord, that you will reveal household salvation unto them, and that you will reveal to them that you can use their faith, that the Lord can use their faith to heal her, not necessarily her faith, but their faith, and that they can save her 100% by just believing that she is healed, and that the Lord saves our family and gives our family great health because we believe. Thank you for that, Lord. There's another thing that I saw this weekend, that I just want to ask prayer for. We went to, on the farms, we have like tuck shops, but it's also Shabins on the side. And I saw our neighbor he actually works for us. I think it's his wife's daughter or something. Her name is Sissy. And I saw her there at the Shabin on late Saturday afternoon. But she had a baby. Her daughter is like a year old, and she was had the baby in her arms. She came up to the car when my dad parked outside the Shabin, and she came to say hello, slash duck shop. And she came to say hello, and I realized that she was, there's a word enough, we use it, sloshed. She was very, very drunk by that stage. And when I used to party, not that I'm proud about it, that's the time when I used to go home, to know that that's very, very drunk. And it's not good to be out when you're that sloshed, you go home. But she was, it looked like she was still warming up. And I was very concerned about the baby. I asked the baby's name, and I can't remember it now, but I asked her the baby's name, and I just told her, please just take care of, you must remember to take care of your baby. And I left it there for now, but I was very, very concerned about the safety of the baby, especially if she'd pass out later that evening, you know, you'd never know what would happen to the baby. And also alcoholism in South Africa is at this stage a huge problem. If we can just pray for that. Lord, I just pray for the Sissy's baby and for Sissy, Lord, that you will give her freedom from alcoholism and also, Lord, if it's going to take some time, that she'll act responsibly and just leave the baby with someone for the evening. If she wants to go out and party, Lord, I know that I just asked that she'll be more responsible. It was very, very alarming to see that on Saturday. I asked that you will release the South Africans, your children, from alcoholism, Lord. It's such a big problem. It's an enormous problem in South Africa, and I ask you to break it down and just show us your will regarding this problem, Lord, and that you will, yeah, Lord, release the South African people from alcoholism. It's awful.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up for will, and we believe it's happening, Lord, even as we speak. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You're going to bring Sissy in too. In Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Praise you, Father, for what you're doing right now. In Sissy. Thank you, Lord, that you're sending somebody right now that she'll listen to. And we break that power of alcoholism off of her, that power of addiction off of her, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for opening up her spiritual eyes to see where she's headed. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay. Well, it looks like we made it through the night. Praise the Lord. Anybody got anything else we need to pray about before we close out? Amen. Well, Lord, I thank you for leading us tonight. Thank you, Father, for bringing out all the wonderful revelations about Jonah. Lord, I ask and I pray, Father, that when we come together again Thursday night, that we'll have another great subject to talk about. And Father, be with us. Make us ever vigilant to cast down vain thoughts. Make us ever vigilant to want to walk that holy walk that you have us on, Lord, so that our prayers will be answered quickly. Father, we thank you for bringing back up the website tonight. We praise you for that, Lord. We thank you that you have answered our prayers. And we thank you, Lord, that Bridget is coming into the kingdom. Matter of fact, it's a past tense thing. She's already in. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you that the baby's going to be fine, too. And I thank you, Lord, that Sissy is going to become a responsible parent, full of the Holy Ghost, Father, I thank you for that, and I'm looking forward to meeting her one day. In Jesus' name. Bless all my brothers and sisters tonight with a good night's sleep. Bless them with a filling, and a grand infilling in the morning when they wake up and ask you, Lord, to fill them up with your Holy Spirit to make the day in it. And I thank you, Father, for doing that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you all. Love y'all.
Good night.
God bless y'all. Have a good day. Have a good day, everybody.
Hey.